Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
I'll tell you what I hope is included in the next stimulus package. Is that what you call it? The COVID relief?
Yeah, I guess they're calling it a stimulus package.
Going to bail out the airlines. I got no problem with that. But we do need, for popcorn, we need the bacon sprinkles.
Got to keep that coming, right?
Oh, wow. That just makes all the difference. Have you ever had this?
I have. It's good. Yeah. But I like the that kind of like butter popcorn salt.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah. I guess just the whole potpourri.
Yes.
Of you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, throw it all in there.
Of things you can put on popcorn.
By the way, you're coming back with popcorn. Having a popcorn break is very popular with our Facebook viewers.
Well,
they always applaud it. You know, they really like it when you crumple up the bag right on live radio, so that people can. Yeah. They really,
well, then I try to. Brent Creeley, our producer, knows I try to make the basket.
That's a tough shot, you know, there.
It's a tough shot, but I've got a backboard over there.
Yeah.
Try to make the shot to properly dispose of my paper bag.
Yeah.
Steve Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. I'm enjoying today, but I'm really looking forward to tomorrow.
Share-a-thon.
Well, that is indeed one of the reasons. But the other reason is because I get to talk NFL football with Ray.
Boy, I tell you, there's nothing worse than a fan from a team that has been losing for decades, when they finally get a team that starts to win some games, are you going to really harass?
And they talk smack.
That would be both Ray and I. Frankly.
No, his team won the Super Bowl last year.
But before they got Mahomes, they had not. It had not been a good decade.
So you're going to apparently talk football on this program.
What he's talking about? No, I'm just the Las Vegas Raiders beat the world champion Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Ray Pritchard is a Kansas City resident.
Right.
And pulls for the Chiefs. Of course, Ray moves around whatever city he's in.
Right. He was a Cowboy fan before.
As long as his team's winning,
yeah,
he's for it.
He's the worst.
Steve stays with his team no matter where he moves from.
That's right. When they're the Juneau, Alaska Raiders, Steve Jordahl will still be a fan.
I don't know why it makes a difference, because I'm sitting in Mississippi. I can go just as many games from Mississippi as I could in Nome, as I could in Oakland, as I could in Las Vegas.
Right. Which
doesn't
is
matter
zero
to me.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Go ahead.
All right. Just a bit of sad news we can just hit and move on. But Joe Morgan, the second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds back in the 70s, the big red machine, passed away yesterday at 77.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. A great, great baseball announcer, great baseball player.
And that team was great.
Hall of Famer, yeah.
Probably the best World Series I've ever seen was the 75 Red Sox Reds. World Series. Boy, that was all kinds of memorable moments.
Yep.
Of course, Joe Morgan was on that great big red machine team.
Yeah, he was.
We're getting old, guys.
I know. We should probably talk. It's been lost in the news because of all the happenings in Washington with Amy Coney Barrett and the President Trump and the coronavirus, but Hurricane Delta smashed into the Louisiana coastline on Friday afternoon. And while it wasn't as powerful as was Laura, it dumped a lot of water, and it actually caused more power outages than Laura did. So hundreds of thousands of people without power over the weekend, they're slowly coming back. But wanted to remind people for their prayers. Our good friends at 8 Days of Hope were already down in the area to help with recovery from Laura. They'll just kind of keep going and help recover from Delta.
Kel, let me just ask just a logistical question. How do you still get, I mean, I see these pictures of these streets, we've got residential areas, you know, filled with water. You know, it must be 2 feet, 3 feet of water, you know, destroying all these houses. How do you get insurance in a place like that for flooding?
Well,
do insurance companies, are they forced by law to cover these repetitive kinds of
Water a lot of times is not covered by insurance, but yeah, a lot of these people do have flood insurance. It's very expensive, but really what helps and the way these people recover is with FEMA funds. The federal government provides funds through the Federal Emergency Management Act or the Department of Federal Emergency Management and helps give residents funding to help rebuild their towns and their lives.
Okay. All right. All right, just a question. I just see these pictures all the time, and I think these poor people, and then
I'm not an expert on this either. I'm sure folks can comment on our Today's Issues Facebook page who live along the coast. I remember after Katrina how hard it was for people to get insurance.
And of course, Katrina was a Cat 5, I think, when it landed, and just right on top of New Orleans, and it devastated Lake Pontchartrain, and yeah, that was huge.
Yeah, it was a Category 3 when it made landfall, Katrina was. It was a Category 5, probably, probably 100 miles or so offshore, but it really, you know, devastated the Mississippi Gulf Coast more than anything, kind of like Camille from 69, but the reason New Orleans got hit because that levee broke.
True.
You know.
Anyway, I just had a question.
Yeah, but I don't know about that's a good question. You would think that insurance would now go up even more.
Yeah. Or they would just say we're not insuring homes down there.
Huh?
Because every 2 years.
It's kind of like where you have flood zones.
Right.
And I'm not talking about along the coast, but anywhere you would have a flood zone that people would, if you want to build there.
Take your chances,
but you're not getting insurance.
Right.
For this.
Anyway.
All right, Steve, next story.
Last Friday, an odd press conference happened in Washington, D.C., with Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying that she was forming a permanent commission that was going to be able to weigh in on the competency of a president to stay in office, to execute the duties of the office of president. It was invoking how to invoke the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, which is the one that mandates if the vice president and some members of Congress or the cabinet feel that the president is incapacitated, this is how you get him out of office. Everybody was assuming it was about President Trump, even though she said it wasn't. I want you to hear a little bit about what she says. A reporter actually asked her if this was about President Trump, and was she concerned about his state of mind because he was on some drugs? This is Cut 5.
You suggested that President Trump has an altered state of mind. What are the indications of that?
Clearly, he is under medication. Any of us who is under medication of that seriousness is in an altered state. He has bragged about the medication that he has taken. And again, there are articles by medical professionals saying this could, as I said earlier, could have an impact on judgment.
So she thinks he's in an altered state, but it was kind of confusing because there's nothing about this commission or invoking the 25th Amendment that could possibly happen short of the election or even before January if President Trump is reelected and everything. But Abe Hamilton had quite the different perspective on this. He says they're setting the stage to replace Joe Biden if he gets elected. That's what this commission will be able to do. And I hadn't thought of it before, but it makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, first of all, I want to comment on the... Now, I have a great deal of medical knowledge, a very deep background. Okay, so that's tongue-in-cheek. But when she says that anyone who's on medication is in an altered state, wrong. All right, that's just wrong. Lots of people take medication. It does not affect their ability to work during the day with their full intellectual and emotional faculties. Now, maybe they shouldn't be operating heavy machinery, okay, when they're taking something, but that's just factually wrong. And now to your point that you're making, Steve, you made this point this morning. I had not thought about the possibilities that this commission would be set up to get rid of Biden and let Kamala Harris become the president. But I'm not sure constitutionally that a commission, I think a commission would just make a recommendation, wouldn't they?
The 25th Amendment, first of all, the vice president in any scenario is key.
Right.
So, but it would, and this would only really be an issue if the Republicans lose the election and lose the Senate and lose the White House.
Right.
But if the vice president thinks that the president is unfit, and the Constitution says either several members of his cabinet or another body as Congress may decide.
Ah, okay.
And so that's where this comes in. They could be the seconding motion behind the vice president. And I'm just thinking, supposing, and I don't know this to be the case, but supposing that the Democrats actually know that Joe Biden has been diagnosed with dementia and is unlikely to be able to complete his term, if that's the case, then this is the mechanism by which they transfer power. And it might be the case if that's the case. And again, I have no knowledge that it might be at all. But if it is, Joe Biden might even be aware of it and in on it.
Well, so I probably should have looked this up in the Constitution when I realized we were going to talk about this. But this commission, if it was set up, Democrats would have to control the House, the Senate, and the White House, because the law which designates this commission as having a part to play would have to be a law passed by Congress and signed by the president?
So
is that right?
This commission, the bill that is in that Nancy Pelosi is putting forward would have to be passed by the House and the Senate, but that's only to set up the commission. The 25th Amendment only requires that the vice president and the cabinet or other entity as described by Congress thinks or believes that the president is out of cannot discharge presidency.
So why do we need this commission? Why don't we have a remedy, right? The constitutional remedy for removing a president.
Yes.
If he falls to senility or
well, remember the president's cabinet are eminently political picks. And so this commission, she has said, is going to be bipartisan. It's going to be bicameral, meaning it's going to be members of the House and the Senate. It's going to be filled with medical experts and constitutional experts. So they're trying to kind of put in place a dispassionate, objective panel, so to speak, in order to weigh in on this.
And it's political cover. I mean, sure. What you'd have is you'd have members of the cabinet and the vice president deferring to this commission and say, well, the experts say President Biden, for example, has dementia and is not going to be able to fulfill his 4-year term. So that gives the rest of them political cover, and they say, well, the experts say we're going to go along with it.
Yep.
What if it's an insurance policy to make sure Trump isn't the president next time if he's reelected?
Well, you'd have to get the vice president to go along with it. So Mike Pence would have to sign on.
And a couple of cabinet members.
But, yeah, even if you could get a couple of cabinet members, if you can't get the vice president behind this, no matter what party's involved,
well,
then it doesn't go anywhere.
Well, you just tell Pence, hey, you want to be president, right? Now's your shot.
Yeah, that's likely to work, huh?
I'm just kidding.
Well, I'll just tell you that this is getting awfully close to a Hollywood movie.
Isn't it?
In terms of a coup against the president.
No, this is true. What we've lived through the last 6 or 8 months is truth is stranger than fiction.
Yes.
Moment.
Absolutely.
In our country's history. This is just, but if Biden were to win, a lot of you think COVID goes away. What, November 4th?
Huh?
Not goes away, but it stops being the topic of our national conversation.
And you stop hearing about the president being responsible for all these deaths.
You start hearing how COVID is fading. And
yes.
It's not as lethal as we once thought it was. We're learning to live with it.
And we're learning that all these COVID deaths were actually, a lot of them were people dying of their pre-existing conditions.
So that's a kind
they
of
happened to
that's
have
a
COVID.
Kind of reshaping of the COVID narrative we're going to hear.
Yes.
If Biden were to win.
Absolutely.
Starting November the 4th.
I have no doubt.
Huh?
Yeah. I have no doubt. Then you're going to start hearing, this actually was caused by bats. Chinese bats at that. And you can't blame us.
Chinese bats.
Yeah. Wasn't it that said that came from bats?
The wet market.
Did I dream that?
No. Well, that's one theory. The other theory is it was created in a lab. And released intentionally to
right. Huh? That is another theory, Tim. And what kind of theory is that?
Huh?
A conspiracy theory. No, I've said I think the Chinese either invented it or it accidentally escaped, and they, when it started spreading, they said, let's let it ride. Let's see what happens over there across the Pacific.
Hey, conspiracy theories aren't always wrong.
No.
There's usually a reason why people have a conspiracy theory.
Just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not after me.
Seriously, a lot of people do believe that, the scientist who defected to our country, the Chinese woman, if you believe her, this was created in a lab in Wuhan. And did she say it was released intentionally? I think she did.
I think she said it was engineered intentionally.
Engineered. I don't know if they released it intentionally. But this virus gets out. You know what's really scary? If I can talk without anybody hearing me.
No one's listening.
Go ahead.
Is this just between us two, three?
Yes. Okay. Yes, just between us.
Okay.
No one will ever know.
Okay, because I don't want, talk about this on the radio or anything like that.
Right. Okay.
Because people start freaking out.
But
what's really scary to me, and when I say scary, I don't mean that I don't trust in God.
Right.
Okay. But I mean, is the fact that if you can do this once, you can do this twice. By that, I mean the Chinese or some other player in the world who would be able to come up with something like this could release another virus.
Yes.
Is that not?
That's
why is that crazy to believe?
That is the theory behind the development of biological weapons, and always has been. I am sure we've got our own in labs. And
but why would
it
you,
is scary.
Yeah, biological weapons are, well, they're not altogether a different category, but when I think about weapons, I think about being able to control it and being a targeted, having a target to use against, not something that spreads all over the world.
Indiscriminately. That's the danger of trying to release a virus that could try to cripple the United States, is you could cripple the world, including your own country.
Okay.
But there are biological weapons that have been developed,
Steve,
for those.
Yeah, certain. Steve, and all right, I'll just say one other thing about this. And when I say this, I don't mean to suggest that I necessarily believe it, because I don't know. We don't have enough evidence to support it. But
right.
You know how you say something is circumstantial?
Mm-hmm.
You have circumstantial evidence?
Right.
You don't necessarily have DNA to prove something, but you think something happened because so-and-so happened, and it sort of makes sense to you? All right, the timing of the release of this virus in late fall of last year, and then what it took to wreak havoc on particularly the American economy and to throw President Trump off his game.
And maybe out of office.
And maybe out of office when he's been in a trade war with China. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I think that's absolutely possible and maybe even likely.
Yeah.
Because communists do not care about human life. And they don't care how many eggs you got to break to make the omelet they want.
There's a study that just came out of the Journal of American Medical Association, done by some people who are estimating that the coronavirus pandemic will end up costing the American economy $16 trillion. It's a theoretical estimate that takes in the value of human life, and it spreads it out over the next decade. It also assumes that we're going to have an eventual U.S. death toll that will be more than triple what it is now by the end of the year. Still, no. $16 trillion is more than we've spent on every war since 9/11, and four times worse than the damage done by the 2008 Great Recession.
Okay, may I deliver some more happy news?
Yes, absolutely.
I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it. I'm coming at you with sunshine.
And puppy tails.
And rainbows and unicorns and all that good stuff. What, by the way, what we just described a while ago would be called a right-wing a nutty right-wing conspiracy theory, wouldn't it be?
Unless it's true.
Unless it's true is right.
No, but isn't that what talking about a virus being released late last year by China that ultimately brings down Donald Trump.
Puts into office Joe Biden.
Who is the friend of China.
Who's the friend of China.
Okay.
So that goes under the category, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and looks like a duck.
I'm just saying.
It's a duck.
As they say.
It wouldn't be the first nutty right-wing conspiracy that the left has tried, starting with Russia collusion.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
All right. So what else you got there, Tim? You got something else you want to drop on us? Isn't that what you said? You got more sunshine?
I'm having a senior moment. I'm only 57. Okay. I'll get back to it in a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I want to talk about the media and its dislike of Donald Trump at any cost.
Huh?
Yes, that's true. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Wendy Williams, who's a talk host, not really the brightest bulb in the box. I want you to hear, she was taking on Donald Trump because he said, don't let the coronavirus destroy your life. It incensed her. She's an expert at this, and she thought that he was wrong. Listen to cut 10.
Oh, President Trump, don't be afraid of Cronova. Don't let it dominate your life. Sir, are you serious? We are here, out in the field. We are frightened of Cronova. You got it.
Is that a parody?
No.
Is that a Saturday Night Live skit?
No, that's real. And
that's
sounds
good
like
radio
she's at church. Sounds like she's at church,
I'm
too.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a woman who believes that star is going to hit us.
Exactly.
It's headed
our
way.
She say Cornova or Cronova?
Cornova.
Cornova.
Oh, Cornova. President Trump, don't be afraid of Cornova.
Those are good, man, for breakfast if you can keep them from getting soggy in the milk.
Was she in the dentist office? What was going on
in
the background there?
She was
there
at church, it sounded like, you know, with her little sisters. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, you kind of lose your legitimacy if you can't even pronounce the name of the disease that we've been talking about for 8 months.
She said it twice.
Yeah.
The Cornova.
That Cornova.
They were popular in the late 60s.
Yes, you know? Cornova,
You had the Mustangs.
They're right.
The Cornovas.
Cornovas.
Yeah. Anyway.
That was worth it.
Yeah.
Hey, a little humor before we end the show.
Yeah, well, after what Tim was saying.
I know, right?
You know, the zombie apocalypse.
Joe Biden has also not stopped amusing us. He was talking the other day and was complaining about President Trump lowering taxes on poor people. I kid you not. Cut six.
And secondly, he wants to make sure he spends $30 billion on further lowering the taxes on people who, in fact, clip coupons, and that's the only source of their income.
What?
I know. That's what I had to say.
Well, no, I don't understand that.
When did you say that?
It's just a couple days ago. It doesn't make sense, actually.
Biden wants to, former Vice President Joe Biden wants to tax people who use coupons?
Apparently, he's complaining that Donald Trump wants to lower the taxes on people that are so poor that they make a living on coupons.
Listen to them play it again. It's their only source of income. Listen to this.
And secondly, he wants to make sure he spends $30 billion on further lowering the taxes on people who, in fact, clip coupons, and that's the only source of their income.
I don't know what to say anymore. And they talk about President Trump. Huh?
Wow.
25th Amendment doesn't seem so far-fetched now, does it?
All I got to say is don't get stuck behind a coupon clipper at the grocery store.
No, that is a real thing.
That's what our country needs to be dealing with. At least one of the top five issues right there.
That's someone who's serious about it. Someone who's got a coupon for everything in their cart?
Yeah.
That'll ruin your day.
I put my stuff back. Before just left. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.
Share-a-thon.
Yep, woo-hoo! Share-a-thon.